Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the Close Encounter headquarters. That's right. Which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. Filling in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And this weekend, well, it's my favorite thing to do around here, the Coast Studios. This weekend, we're going old school all weekend because tonight, Matthew Ryan is here with one of the most incredible Close Encounter ET contact experiences that I've ever heard. Tomorrow night, Emery Smith is going to be here for the full show. Two nights, two first-time guests, aliens, ET, flying saucers, contact, and your phone calls. It really doesn't get much better. And the reason why I like to go old school here, and I've mentioned this before on the show, so I want you to absorb what I am about to say. I used to live across the street from the Coast to Coast AM studios. And so I, just like you, used to listen to Coast all night long with my little radio on my nightstand here in the valley and listen to these great guests. And a lot of them I've never heard before, their experiences, their stories. And I would go late into the night and early morning hours in my dark bedroom and listening to the stuff and just enjoying every minute of it. And it was great, right? Well, that's exactly what we are going to do tonight and tomorrow night. And Matthew Ryan, absolutely amazing person. Feet on the ground, very talented, and he's got life figured out, right? But what got him there was this close encounter. Well, it was a big part of it. Of course, it was an epiphany. And the experience is extraordinary. So we're going to go through that tonight with Matthew, and then because it's Friday, right? That means we're going to open up the phone lines. So I hope that Matthew's going to hang out and take your phone calls so all of you can interact with Matthew and talk to him about this extraordinary event that happened back in 2004. So we're going to do that heading into Saturday morning and filling in for George Norrie. It's Friday night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's open lines for the rest of the evening. Get ready for that. In the meantime, do what I do. Turn down the lights. The studio here is dark. Get ready. You can follow me right now on Twitter at J Church Radio. You know the drill. Okay, Twitter is right here. Almost didn't have Twitter live tonight, everybody. Twitter locked me out of my own account, and we couldn't get logged back in. And then they gave me 60 minutes to re-log in, which was precisely 4 minutes ago, right after we started the show tonight. But I'm good to go. Twitter is live to my left. And enjoy the bumper music tonight. And because I went old school, you know, for the next two nights on Coast to Coast, I'm going to tell you what the bumper music is tonight. The bumper music is me. It's junior high and high school jams. It's a little trip down memory lane, seriously. So enjoy that. Love to hear your comments on the bumper music. I think it's all pretty cool. And later we'll open up the phones. It's Friday night. It's Coast to Coast. I do want to hear from you. Let's do this. Filling in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back with our guest, Matthew Ryan. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM Friday night, sitting in, standing in, actually, for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and we're going to open up the phone lines. It is Friday night, so get ready for that. Our guest tonight is Matthew Ryan. You can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio, very simple. And you can also follow Matthew on Twitter. I think it's Matthew Gamma Wav, not Wave. It's Wave without the E, Matthew Gamma Wave. Matthew is a seer and healer. He lives in Taos, New Mexico. And over the last 18 years, he's developed a unique energetic healing modality called gamma wave healing, named after his ability to enter into a gamma state with fascinating healings. And his journey began at an early age. And as a child, he had certain abilities that opened up doorways into perceiving non-ordinary reality, such as communicating with animals and lucid dreams and out-of-body experiences. Then he was 19. He had a series of events that took place which shook loose his apparent place in the world and eventually propelled him on a major course correction towards spirit, his authentic self, and purpose. But then it happened. In 2004, he moved to Taos, New Mexico, and he had a close encounter with a UFO, and it changed everything. Tonight, Matthew is going to share with us that event from 2004, a close encounter of the real kind, and how it changed his life and his world. His website is GammaWaveHealing.com, and I would like to welcome for the first time to Coast AM, Matthew Ryan. Matthew, good evening. How are you?
Hey, you know, Jimmy, I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking.
Well, you know, I'm just going to let the audience know you spent the day on the slopes skiing, a great day. So what a great day, right? So you're out in nature and doing your thing, and tonight you're on Coast to Coast for the first time. Life is good.
Life is beautiful. You know, I'm really excited about the way things are looking in the world right now. And I'm really grateful to be here with you tonight, Jimmy.
Now, we've got so much to talk about tonight, and especially having you on a Friday night, which is open lines. And this is an interactive night for the Coast audience. And I really enjoy doing open lines and hanging out with everybody. But I also know how special it is for everybody to share their experiences. And when they have somebody like you to listen to about your experiences, it lets them know that it's okay to talk about these things because this is part of our reality today. Your experience, Matthew, stopped me dead in my tracks. And I've done 1,000 interviews or more. And I hear a lot. I've had my own experiences. Yours was pretty unique. Now, actually, because we have so much to talk about tonight, let's actually start right there in 2004. Okay. Yeah. You moved to Taos, New Mexico. You're exploring your community and your territory. Tell us about that day. Was that day different? Was it any more special than any other day?
In one sense, you know, I think it was a little bit special just because of kind of the focus that I had going on in my life at that moment. At that time, you know, I'd moved to Taos a few months earlier with my girlfriend, who, you know, became my fiance, and you know, we ended up getting married. We're no longer together now, but are really, really good friends. And you know, at that time, we were engaged, and we were preparing to go on a cruise with my mom. We were planning on having a destination wedding, and just wanted to have like immediate, you know, family and a couple of close friends down in the Caribbean at some location. So, you know, my fiance was going to spend some time with my mom and get to know her. So, you know, we'd been focusing on this for a little while, and we were about to leave, you know, in a couple of days' time to go on this cruise. And, you know, I'd been working really hard, you know, just working a lot of time at my job. I was, you know, like a bar manager at a kind of a high-end resort. And, I finally had a day off, you know, right before we were leaving. And so I thought that I would spend the day, you know, going out into nature and try to unwind a little bit. And I made a decision to go hiking up in the mountains. We were living at that time in a small home, you know, up in the mountains, just outside of Taos. And I'd become familiar with the forest up there. I'd had, you know, friends show me around up there a lot. And, remembered that there was this natural spring. And so, you know, I'd made up my mind that I was going to go on this hike and, you know, hopefully have a little bit of like a shamanic experience or something. A lot of times when I'd go hiking, I would run into elk. And so I was actually expecting that my encounter was going to be with some elk. And I did end up seeing some elk afterwards, but it's not quite the way that it played out.
So you head up. Did you see anybody else? Were you completely alone? Any park rangers, anybody else hiking?
No, nothing like that at all. Where we were living, our property was bounded by the U.S. National Forest, by Carson National Forest. And so it's private property all along, you know, where we were living. And there was absolutely nobody else up there. And in fact, I mean, I think the only time I'd ever run into anybody else up there would have been like one of the neighbors. You know, it's basically when you go up into this part of the forest, you're going to be totally alone up there in a, you know, pristine or, you know, relatively pristine environment. And, Yeah, it was a beautiful day. I believe it was April 12th, and this is 2004, and kind of like today, actually. You know, it was like a really beautiful, partly cloudy day, and was a little bit warm. You know, as the spring was or winter was turning into spring, and you know, and like in the shadows, there was still some snow on the ground, but it was relatively warm. And yeah, I was pretty excited, and you know, I headed off relatively early. You know, not super early, but took off in the morning, and you know, hiked up to basically like a Forest Service road, like one of these fire access roads, you know, that get cut up in the mountains so that they give the Forest Service firefighters some access. And so, you know, that's a really good landmark so that you know you'll never get lost, you know, so you can like hike up to one of those. And so, you know, I made my way up the hill, probably about a 45-minute climb, you know, just kind of going uphill following game trails and whatnot. And then you finally, you know, come up to this fire road. And from there, you know, it's pretty easy walk, basically. Not much of a hike, is pretty much on the same level. And I kind of went to the west down the canyon and was heading over to this natural spring. And you know, I know that the animals were always coming there to drink, and so I figured that would be a good place to go and hang out for a little bit. So you know, I made my way over there and kind of camped out, or you know, sat down in an area where I thought maybe I was gonna be able to catch some wildlife. And you
How
know, I ended
far
up.
off of the fire road were you?
So, like, once I was walking on the fire road, you know, that was probably about I'd say about a 20-minute walk or so into this other kind of side canyon. And then to get to the area where I was going to be seated, you know, and where I was hanging out, was several hundred yards downhill, like
Okay.
down into the canyon.
Right.
And it was on like a game trail, like a very like it was like an elk and deer highway. It was a very defined game trail, you know, like a easy path to follow.
Right.
And hiked down, you know, down into the bottom of this little side canyon. So it was actually like quite a bit darker. You know, it was like spruce trees and fir trees and some aspens just kind of like, you know, towering above you. And you know, so there was a narrow view of the sky, but you could definitely see the sky, you know, right up above us, or up above me, whatever. And you know, got down into that area and was, you know, I was hanging out for probably a it was a fair while, you know, like 30 to 45 minutes, something like that. You know, I didn't have a watch on me or anything, but was hanging out down there, and I started to get a little bit cold because I was, you know, I had stopped moving. And at that point is when, you know, I decided, I was like, okay, I think it's probably time to go back. And you know, I didn't see any elk. You know, I'd heard some elk, you know, moving around in the forest, but you know, nothing, I didn't see anything. And so, you know, I stood up and I put my camelback on. You know, I was hiking with camelback. And right when I put it on, it was kind of interesting. I remember, like, I looked forward, and there was this aspen tree that was like broken right in front of me, and it was bent in this really strange way. And I remember looking at that and thinking, God, you know, what could have actually done that? Like, it wouldn't have been like snowfall or whatever. And I remember, like, in my mind, I had this image of almost like a force, like an energy coming down onto this tree. And like, literally right at that second when I had that thought, I looked directly above me, and and I don't even know why, because initially I didn't hear anything, but I looked straight up into the sky, and out of, you know, the sky at an altitude way above me. I mean, I have no way of knowing what it was, but out of the sky then came this craft, and it came down directly above me, and from a really high frequency sound. You know, down to a really low frequency sound. So it's like, you know, I look straight up into the sky, and suddenly this craft comes down, going like, whoa, 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 you know, and it was just like pulsating the lowest frequency that I've ever been exposed to.
Now,
And
let me stop you right there. When you first saw, so was it just like a light in the blue sky, right? Like a little pinprick?
So when I looked up, I didn't see anything at all. You know, like, I don't know what drew my attention, you know, whether that was some other,
Right.
you know, extrasensory perception or something, or maybe I was picking up on like a really high frequency as this thing came in.
Right.
My sense is that it actually like kind of portaled in or something, because it was like almost directly above me when it came down and descended. And what I saw was...
hold on. Let me jump in again. I want everybody to understand exactly how this is playing out.
Sure.
How long from when you tipped your head up to it being right above you? Are we talking about a second or two, 5 seconds, 15? How much time?
Oh, no. It was like almost instantaneous. So like I looked up into the sky really, you know, without any thought. I don't know why I did it. I speculate that I was picking up on this craft's presence appearing. But so I looked directly above me, and almost instantaneously, I hear and feel this really high frequency that then moves down into an extremely low frequency. And that movement, as the craft was coming down, like I saw it as not a point of light. I mean, it looked like a craft, but there was this distortion around it, which I'll get into in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But the sound of it and the intensity of the waves of energy that were coming off of this thing, it really, I mean, I you know, I do my best to describe it, and I'll never do it justice. I mean, it was, when it came down from the very high frequency to the very low frequency, and it was literally hovering directly above me, directly above the treetops, you know, I would estimate that the trees in that area are probably, you know, 60, 75 feet tall, something like that. Like that, we don't get really, really tall trees because we don't have a ton of moisture. And this craft was right above the trees, and it was directly above me. And the pulsation of energy that was coming off, it was just emanating, you know, whoom, whoom. The frequency was so low. The only thing I've ever experienced in my life that could compare to that is I'm a scuba diver. I'm a dive master. And, you know, scuba diving when humpback whales are singing in the water.
Right.
And you feel that, like, wavelength penetrates every single cell in your body because it's such a low frequency, you know. And that's exactly what this was, except that it wasn't like a sustained wavelength like a humpback whale song. This was a pulsation, like, in a very regular, very steady rhythm, and it never changed. Like, the rate at which this thing was emanating these waves of energy that were literally lighting me up. I mean, it went through every single cell of my body, and I've never in my life been that awake.
What did you?
I was in that moment.
Right. Incredible. What did you see at this point? What were you seeing? We've got to head to a break here in about 2.5 minutes, so we can get this in before the break.
Sure.
If the trees were 60, 70 feet tall, uh-huh, then how big was the craft, and what did the craft look like from underneath?
So the craft, I would estimate, is about maybe 30 feet long or so, and it was shaped kind of like an almond, meaning it was like pointy on one end, and it like kind of curved out to the sides, and then it curved back towards what I guess was the back, and the back end of it was like blunted. It was like a rounded, blunted end. It wasn't pointy. And so I'm looking up at the bottom of this thing, and the bottom of it is kind of curved. You know, it's not like, it didn't have like a really sharp ridge or anything. It was really kind of a smooth curve. It was like chrome silver, absolutely chrome silver, and without any visible seams or anything on the underside that I could see. But then the thing that was really super interesting about it was that there was this field distortion that was around the entire craft. So I could see it, but I couldn't see it. It was like literally like in the movie The Predator, you know, like that Schwarzenegger movie where
fuzzy. Yeah,
exactly. It was like fuzzy, and it was like bending the light, like the background of the sky was being bent around it. And so I had this simultaneous perception that it was like this perfectly chrome silver craft, but it had a field distortion around it that made it look invisible. It was like shimmering, almost like invisible.
Any lights?
No, I didn't see anything like that at all.
And, any windows?
No windows that I could see at all. I don't know if there were windows up on top, you know, but on the underside of it, it was just perfectly smooth.
Right. Very interesting. Our guest tonight, this is Coast to Coast AM, standing in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is Matthew Ryan. When we come back after the break, we're going to continue this close encounter. It is one of the most incredible stories that I have ever heard, And tonight we're going to go through all of this. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in for George Norrie tonight. Our guest is Matthew Ryan, and we are going through his 2004 life-changing close encounter in Taos, New Mexico. More with Matthew right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM, standing in for George Norrie. Took the night off, wanted me to tell everybody hello. So there, I got that out of the way. Our guest tonight is Matthew Ryan. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And right before the break, Matthew was telling us how he was down by a spring in Taos, New Mexico. He's on a hike, and he felt something, looked up, and this craft came down in just an instant. And he's looking up at it through the trees, and it's emanating a low cycle hum that's resonating through his body. The underneath the craft is chrome, shaped like an almond. I'm kind of picturing maybe the bottom of a boat or something. It's about 30 feet. And so, Matthew, at this moment, what are you thinking? Were you thinking ET, aliens? Were you thinking us or them? Was that even going through your mind at all?
No, not at all. I mean, when this thing, when the craft came down right above me, once I realized what it was, you know, I mean, it took me maybe a second or two as the thing was hovering above me, you know, and I realized what it was. It's funny, my very first thought, I mean, I'll never forget it. My first thought was, wow, that's a low frequency. And, as it was just like pulsating these low frequency waves through me. And then my next thought immediately was, holy cow, I'm going to get taken. And, you know, and everybody always asks, you know, were you scared? And I had no fear at all in that moment. It was more of like, I was like almost surprised, like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to get taken. And pretty quickly within, you know, maybe a second or two, I realized, no, they're not taking me. They're talking to me. And, you know, I don't know how I knew that. I mean, I suspect for sure that I was, you know, tuning into what was going on, but I had no conscious awareness at that point of what was going on. And so I you know, at that point in my life, I had been following a spiritual path, you know, for a few years. It was like, you know, I'd been doing readings and had been reading lots of things. Like, you know, I'd read Carlos Castaneda, you know, several times. I'd read, you know, Bringers of the Dawn and, you know, many different things that were kind of waking me up. And so in that moment when I realized, wait a second, they're talking to me, you know, I remember very specifically trying to tune in. Like I consciously tried to hear or to like tune in with my third eye or something, you know, and I probably sat there with a funny look on my face for a few seconds as I was trying to tune in. And I realized, you know, I wasn't getting anything. Like whatever was going on, it was beyond my ability to consciously tune into. And luckily I knew enough just to like stop and just stand there and experience what was going on. And so I kind of stopped trying to hear anything or sense anything. And I just stood there, you know, looking up at this craft, and it sat there hovering above me. I estimate the total time that it was above me was like maybe 25 or 30 seconds, something like that. It was definitely less than a minute. And it just sat there the entire time, you know, pulsating this super intense low frequency sound. And there were like, again, there were waves of energy just emanating off of this. I felt every single wave, almost like a wave of water hitting me and washing through every cell in my body. And
what happened next after the 30 seconds? What happened?
So at this point, then what ends up happening is that it changed its orientation, you know, relative to me. So as I'm standing in this, I'm in this little side canyon. It's actually called Rancho Canyon. And I'm standing, you know, down by the spring and in the side canyon. And as I'm oriented in the canyon, my left-hand side is like if I were to stick my arm straight out left, that would be pointed uphill, like up the canyon, as the canyon would be moving in elevation up the mountain range.
Right.
And so the craft was oriented with what I know from its direction of travel, the pointy bit, you know, the front part of it was oriented directly over me, facing towards my back. So, you know, the craft is like right above me. It's facing towards my back, and, you know, the rear end of it was like facing, you know, away from my front. It was like pointed in the direction I was facing. And so it rotated clockwise, and it began facing itself up the canyon, you know, uphill, and it began moving away from me. And so, you know, and I could tell it was moving away from me from, like, you know, the Doppler effect. You know, it's like as it was moving away, that just like an ambulance siren, you know, I could tell from the sound of it and the waves of energy, like they were getting, like, you know, just slightly a little bit further apart. Like I could just tell it was moving away from me in distance. And so it was hugging the treetops, you know, or right above the treetops, but it was following the contour of the land. Like it didn't like accelerate up to a high altitude or anything like that. It was literally moving fairly slowly, although, you know, I could have never kept up with it. I mean, it was probably, if I were to guess, it was probably moving, you know, maybe 45 miles per hour or something like that, 60 miles per hour. I don't know, but it was moving away from me, and it followed the contour of the land. And I know that because at a certain point, after several seconds, it crossed behind a ridgeline, and it moved out of direct line of sight. And so, like, in that moment, I didn't know what had happened initially, but, like, the intensity of the energy dropped. And I could still hear it, and I could still feel it. But suddenly, like, I was no longer being, like, bombarded by these waves of energy. And I sat there, and I was like, whoa, what just happened? And then it came back into direct line of sight, and suddenly those waves of energy were hitting me again directly. But it was further away, and so it was less intense, and the sound was less intense. And it did this a few times, two or three times. It crossed behind like a ridge line and then came back into line of sight. And so, you know, it probably, if I were to guess, I'm going to say another maybe 25 or 30 seconds, something like that, that it was moving up the canyon. You know, and now it's a ways away from me now, and it's out of the national forest. Like, it was far enough away that it had crossed over into the boundary of the Taos Pueblo Reservation, the Indian Reservation,
right.
The Taos Pueblo. And so at that point, you know, it's quite a distance away from me, but it still is intense. I mean, it's like it's permeating the entire environment there of the forest. And
what were the animals doing, Matthew? Did they go silent when it was there?
Yeah, they weren't doing anything like it. And I, you know, of course, I was completely consumed by what was going on. I was paying no attention at the time to anything around me. I was totally focused on this craft. And then the craft eventually, like, it like turned off. The sound, the energy, everything stopped. And in my mind, like, what I saw in my mind was that it had actually, like, descended down into like water or a lake or something. I don't know. I mean, that's just what I saw in my mind. But I have no way of knowing. You know, it was quite a distance away from me and I couldn't see it.
Now, what about and I'm sorry if I've interrupted, but I've got to get these questions in. What about the side view? You know, you saw the craft from the back or from the bottom, but now you're looking at it from across the valley. Now, what did you see? What was the shape? What did it look like?
Well, I mean, it was, once it left my immediate area, it was impossible to see because of the forest. You know, it was like, because I'm down on I'm down on the ground. Once it moved out of the immediate area there, I was like looking through trees up at where it, you know, where it would have been. And because of this field distortion, you know, as it moved away from me, it would have been tricky to see. And so I don't have any memory of, like, you know, being able to track it with my eyes. I was tracking it entirely by my ears and, like, the feel of, you know, of those waves of energy hitting me. And so then, like, when it did turn off, or when it portaled out, or it landed, whatever it did, you know, I don't know. It was completely silent in the forest. It was absolutely dead silent for, like, about 6 seconds. And, you know, and you have never stood in a forest that is completely silent. You know, I mean, it was weird. And then all the sound in the forest came back. Like, I could hear birds and squirrels. And even, like, I started noticing, you know, like, the sound in the trees. And I realized, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, that came back super quickly. It wasn't like, you know, it was like something completely out of the ordinary, you know, had happened, or the forest, you know, had just readjusted, and suddenly everything was normal again. And, when I realized that, I just started laughing. You know, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, oh my gosh, like what in the world just happened? And I remember thinking, I was like, well, I guess it's time to go home. And, you know, and I already had my camelback on and you know, I began making my way back, you know, up. I had to climb back up out of that canyon, back up onto the forest road and began walking home. And as I was walking home, you know, these insights, like I was reliving the experience in my mind, you know, or in my memory, and these insights just began pouring in. And, you know, about like the frequency of craft, they're coming in and out of the area, and, you know, that they come in. Like I heard an airplane actually fly over, like a propeller driven airplane. And we have a very small airport, like a regional airport near Taos. Only like private jets come in. Most of the planes that come in are propeller planes. And I had this insight that when the propeller driven planes come in, they produce a really low frequency sound from the propellers. And when these craft are coming in and out of the area, they often will come in at the same time so that they can mask the sound of these, like, you know, gravity drives or whatever the propulsion systems are. So that, you know, it's not drawing attention as they like fly over the town or whatnot. So, you know, there were a lot of different insights that came in at that time, but I had no conscious understanding of what this experience was and what had happened to me until years later.
Well, did you, on the walk home, was there anything else? Did you see it again or hear anything?
I did not see it again. Like I said, on the walk home, I was just made, it was really kind of funny because this is where I had my encounter with the elk. I was really like, I must've been just up in my third eye, like almost in a dream state. And my body was like on autopilot. And, you know, as I was walking, I walked right up on an elk that was on the side of the fire road, and it was grazing, and it snorted at me. Like a really, really loud snort warning, and it froze my body. I mean, my body like just automatically like hit the brakes, you know, and I realized, oh my God, I just walked up on an elk, you know, and it kind of warned me, and then it walked itself away into the forest. And I mean, so, you know, even to that point that like I didn't even see this elk while I was walking back, I was in a completely altered state and, you know, was just kind of in this this state, reliving the experience and receiving whatever insights I had. But yeah, I didn't see the craft again. It was gone, you know, wherever it had gone, it was no longer interacting with me at all.
Well, the way that it came down on you instantly to the point where you were standing at,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
It seems when somebody hears you describe this, it sounds like it knew you were there, like you were selected.
Absolutely. I mean, that's at the moment, like I literally, my sense was that it was almost like an appointment, you know, and that's why I think when I laughed and I was like, well, it's time to go home. And because I was thinking I was supposed to have this appointment with like running into a herd of elk or something, but I had a different appointment that day. And in the intervening years, you know, when we jump forward into 2009, I began doing some work with a very close friend of mine, you know, one of my best friends, and eventually became a business partner of mine, named Stacy Kripe. And she lives here in Taos. And she's a very gifted regression therapist. And so, I began doing some regression work with her, and it was actually the second ever regression that I did with her. And we were actually looking for something else. You know, we'd gone looking in for a different, you know, a different piece of healing or a different piece of information. And she was guided to take us back into this experience. And so, you know, under hypnosis and this regression, you know, we went back into the experience and I got to relive the experience. And this is when a bunch of information began to be revealed. And what we were shown was that this was absolutely an appointment, that this was absolutely an intentional experience, that the pilots, you know, the beings on board the craft, identified me very specifically through my DNA. There's this situation that is called a frequency signature that every living thing, and also, you know, apparently inanimate things like, you know, crystals, plants, you know, whatever, everything has a uniquely identifying frequency signature that is an emanation of its vibration, you know. And so in the case of people and other living things with DNA, we have a very complex, very unique frequency signature. And many of the star beings have this ability to be able to tune into those frequency signatures, just as if they're like dialing a phone number, or just like they're dialing into a radio station on a receiver. And what these beings did was that they specifically were looking for a very specific frequency signature, which happened to be my DNA. And they found it. They found me. You know, they came down. And when they were hovering above me, the sense that I had that they were trying to communicate with me, during that moment, what was revealed in this regression was that they were just bombarding me with a super high frequency sound, like a SASER of some kind, some technology that employs really high frequency, way outside of the spectrum that we can hear. And in doing that, they were activating my DNA. They targeted the DNA specifically, went in and activated it in some way. And then as soon as that activation was done, they were done and they left. And, you know, what ended up happening then was that instantaneously something was changed in my DNA, but it took, you know, it took a little bit of time before those changes began to, you know, manifest in a way that I began noticing them. But until I had this regression in 2009, I never really consciously made the connection that the, you know, explosion of ability that I had in doing healing work was directly connected to that experience. And now, I mean, it all makes sense now.
It sounds like I've got 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It sounds like those pulses, those waves were data. It was data. It was information. Were you receiving a download?
Oh, they absolutely downloaded information to me while activating the DNA. There was a lot of information that was coming in. And my sense on the low frequency waves was always that was a product of the propulsion system of the craft, and that they were using a very specialized technology that I had no way of hearing or even picking up consciously, because it was way outside of the spectrum of our normal frequency perception.
Our guest tonight, Matthew Ryan, standing in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us.